You know, I was originally planning to bring some information to you regarding the great Latino community and other info, but I decided that since it's difficult for me to really give you the voice that I need to bring that information to you, I'll rebroadcast something that I shared quite a while back. Spiritual perspectives having to do with God protecting his people and dealing with their enemies in order to protect his people. Coming from Songs. Check this out.
We are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. Oh, yes.
Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. You listen to the voices of Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey. Singing When You Believe.
It's hard to kill.
Taken from the movie The Prince of Egypt. It's about time to cross that Red Sea.
When you believe, somehow you will. You will when you believe.
I'm definitely going to let you hear some more of that song. It is so inspiring. And, you know, of course, as you know, we are in the this week's edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where we take a look at a topic either from a biblical perspective, where we look at the situation as it pertains to our lives and we apply scripture to it, apply it, see how it fits into scripture, or we'll take a subject straight out of the Bible and show how it relates to where we live. That's what we're doing as we discuss the pivotal point where we have been looking for several weeks now at pivotal moments in time, pivotal people in time. It's so fascinating that God has pivotal people, people who he brings to places of prominence. He makes sure that they've been born, they've been raised up, nurtured, developed in order to accomplish a mission that he has for them. And so often, it's so interesting to see that so often when God raises up people to do a special work, rescuing is part of the mission. Sometimes that also involves loss of well-being for others, particularly when you look at how God does things. So often, God is really busy doing what he can do and what only he as God can do to rescue his people from harm, to rescue his people from evil people, from enemies who hate them without a cause, other than that they are truly, truly representing God in ways that are pleasing to God. And as a result, in ways that are very displeasing to Satan and displeasing to humans in the earth who hate God. It is amazing to me that so many people, so many human beings in this earth actually hate God, hate Jesus Christ, hate the Holy Spirit. Nothing new about it. There is nothing new about it at all. You go all the way back to our original parents, Adam and Eve. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, first parents of all humanity. Don't know how long it took, but before they even had their first child, Eve had turned against God. And Adam, deciding that he would cling to his wife instead of clinging to his God, also disobeyed God. Their first son, who we're told about, Cain, was so far from being pleasing to God in his character, in his thoughts, in his personality, that in jealousy and resentment, he murdered his own brother. Murdered his own brother. Even after having been told by God, look, sin is waiting, is lying at the door, is ready to pounce on you, is ready to overcome you, is ready to destroy you, but you must master it. And unfortunately, Cain was so filled with sin, he was so filled with darkness, he was so uninterested in pleasing God that he wouldn't hear what God had to say. He heard him, but ignored him. Talked his brother into meeting him in the field where Cain did much of his work, and he murdered his brother. He didn't kill him because his brother had done anything to him. He didn't kill Abel, his brother, because Abel had said anything ugly to him. It was all because of the darkness, the wickedness, the sin in Cain's heart that Cain murdered his own brother. Of course, we have a lot of that going on now. Even in the church, we have people who murder the reputations of saints whom they know to be sincere. In fact, that's what that was all about between Cain and Abel. Cain knew that God was pleased with his brother Abel. Each of them had brought a sacrifice to God. God rejected Cain's sacrifice, and he accepted Abel's sacrifice. But more importantly, as I've told you before, the reason God was willing, the primary reason God was willing to accept Abel's offering is because God accepted Abel. You go back and read it, you'll find that God told Cain, after he rejected Cain's offering, if you do well, will you not be accepted? It wasn't just Cain's offering that God had rejected. God had rejected Cain. Cain knew that God had rejected him. Cain knew that God had accepted Abel. He was jealous and he was resentful. And so rather than change his own attitude and become acceptable to God, rather than change his own attitude and his approach to life, his approach to God, Cain decided he was going to stay just like he was and get worse. And rather than learn from his younger brother Abel and make the changes that he, Cain, needed to make in order to be approved by God himself, to be accepted by God himself, he chose instead to remain jealous and resentful and murder his brother for being acceptable to God. Yes, we've had a lot going on for centuries and centuries and centuries, leading us to where we are today in our look at pivotal points, where we've had people who have opposed God. And in opposing God, they oppose God's faithful people. The reason they oppose God's faithful people is because first and foremost, they oppose God. The reason they hate God's people is first and foremost because they hate God. And when they see God's image growing in those of us who truly love God, who worship him in sincerity, who serve him diligently and continually work to be more and more like him, striving for greater purity in our hearts and our minds, striving for greater righteousness, not our own, but God's righteousness, allowing that to reign, to rule the way we think, to govern the way we talk, to govern our behavior. We become more and more acceptable to God. He approves of us. Oh, just to think, God smiling because he likes what he sees when he looks at his faithful children. And you can best believe that very often, the more God likes what he sees, the more the enemies of God hate what they see. And so for ages and ages, we've had the children of this world who hate God, also hating his people and trying to make life miserable for us. And very often God will step up, step off, step away from that throne, particularly God incarnate, the Son of God, also called Yahweh, the Lord, will actually take action to rescue his people. And very often when he does so, he raises someone up, someone in the earth, a human being in the earth, usually one who loves him and serves him faithfully, usually. All of us are supposed to. Everyone he raises up is supposed to love him and serve him faithfully, but not all do. Take Samson, for example. Such a tragic story. A man empowered mightily by God to do great works for God's people, in God's name, for God's glory. He never loved God. That's why he indulged in sin. But he did accomplish some things. And he was supposed to be used by God to free Israel from the power of the Philistines, that nation of people who just constantly dogged Israel. Very often God will raise up someone, though, who will love him, honor him, serve him faithfully to rescue his people. But very often in the process of rescuing his people, God will also cause problems for their enemies. And sometimes those problems end in death for some of those enemies. It may end in sickness or disease for some of those enemies. It may end in financial ruin for some of those enemies. It can end in a loss of, in a ruined reputation. Maybe a person is found out for some sins they've been involved in. Maybe some criminal activity that they've been involved in. Even those who pretend to be spirit-filled Christians involved in some criminal activity, and they end up being thrown into prison and their reputations are ruined. So many different ways God has of dealing with the enemies of his people. And very often, in fact, the pattern is when he rescues his people, he devastates their enemies in the process. And that's where we are today. We're taking a look again at what was happening with Israel, led by Moses, and the Egyptian army led by their king, the Pharaoh. And I shared with you last week what happened as Moses, in obedience to God, stretched out his hand over the Red Sea and caused the waters to part, to separate, to be divided. God telling his servant Moses, stretch out your hand over the Red Sea. And when Moses, God's friend and servant, obeyed God and stretched out his hand over the Red Sea, God sent a mighty east wind that caused that water to separate so that the Israelites could cross over to the other side on dry ground. And a lot of people say somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million people, men, women, children, and then they had all the animals. They had to get all of that over, all those animals, all the people over, all that they were carrying with them, approximately 1 million people, and then all the other. Crossing over on dry ground. And then the Pharaoh decided that he and his army were mighty enough. He and his army had enough authority that those waters would remain divided. And they too would cross over on dry ground. And remember what their intention was. I tell you, it's amazing that people can be so evil, so wicked, so greedy to sin, so greedy to do that which is wrong. Pharaoh said that he would pursue. And he said that he would devour with the sword. They were going to destroy the Israelites. And then those whom they captured were going to be re-enslaved. Didn't turn out that way, as I told you last week. Instead, once the Pharaoh and his army were committed, and they were all on that dry ground, all of them on that dry ground, Remember, the Lord looked down from the cloud, threw them into confusion, made it impossible for them to get anywhere on that same dry ground that the Israelites had just crossed over on. Moses was commanded by God, stretch out your rod over the sea again, and I'm going to cause the waters to come back over the Egyptian army, the Pharaoh. Moses obeyed his God. And when he obeyed, stretching out his rod, his hand over that Red Sea, God caused the waters to come back. And they destroyed the Pharaoh, destroyed his entire army. What family members were in that sea with Pharaoh? Any cousins? Any nephews? Who else was a part of that army? A part of his official staff, following him into that water to go get those Israelites. And instead of following in the water, following on dry ground to destroy the Israelites, they followed on dry ground to their own destruction. When we come back, I'm going to share with you the song that Moses and then Miriam sang after this was over. Do you suppose it was a sad song since God had just finished killing the Pharaoh and all of his army? I mean, they did die. They were humans. Sure, they were evil. They were sinful. They were wicked. But they were humans. You suppose Moses and Miriam sang a song of sadness because so many lives had been lost? I'll share the song with you when I come back.